Earlier this week, I saw a post on Facebook that caught my attention. It was a cutting from the Times newspaper in 2016, and I presume that it's still doing the rounds on Facebook because it still feels pertinent to life in the UK today. This is what the cutting said. A scene of modern Britain played out on a rail replacement bus service in Newport yesterday. A woman wearing a niqab was chatting to her son in another language. After 5 minutes, a man suddenly snapped, "If you're in the UK, you should speak English." At this, another passenger turned around and explained, "We're in Wales, and she's speaking Welsh." It made me smile. We know that the UK is a diverse, multicultural, multi-faith place. In fact, these days it's entirely normal for a Muslim woman to be speaking Welsh on a bus. But interestingly, more than half of adults in the UK describe themselves as having no religious affiliation. So much so, actually, that I would say as a Christian, I often feel as if I am speaking an entirely different language from the people around me, because so many of my friends don't have any familiarity of things of faith. In today's world, we can no longer assume that people understand what it means to be a Christian, nor can we assume that people care what Christians think. The Apostle Paul found himself in a very similar situation in today's reading. He had been travelling through Greece, sharing the message of Jesus. And his usual pattern when he arrived at a place was to start in the synagogue and to share the message with his fellow Jews. It was an obvious place to start because they shared the same culture and the same history, and so Paul could use the Jewish scriptures to explain who Jesus was. But when he got to Athens, we're told that Paul visited both the synagogue and the marketplace. And in the marketplace, Paul was a minority. He was a foreigner there. He was someone who spoke a different language to the vast majority of Athenians. So what does Paul do to make himself understood? How does he go about sharing his faith and explaining the message of Jesus? And for that matter, how are we meant to do the same if we live in a world where people don't necessarily know what we mean anymore when we talk about things of faith? How do we get our message across? How do we cope with the misconceptions that exist? Well, the first thing to say is that Paul recognised that the vast majority of people in Athens thought differently to him. At that time, Athens was the intellectual and philosophical capital of the Western world, and so Paul had to engage with people who had different worldviews from his own. And in particular, Luke mentions the Epicurean and the Stoic philosophers. So he couldn't assume that they thought the same way that he thought, and that meant that he couldn't use his usual lines of argument either. Instead, he had to understand where they were coming from, and then he had to explain the message in a way that they would understand. And I think when you look at the passage, you see that Paul does three things. First of all, he understands the context that he is in. Secondly, he finds common ground with the Athenians. And then thirdly, he builds credibility with his listeners. Now, he shows that he understands the context when he refers to the altar to the unknown God, because he's essentially saying, I see that you are a very religious group of people, and yet he also recognised that they were sceptical as well, because there is something entirely sceptical, I think, about having an altar to an unknown God. He finds common ground with them when he talks about God as creator. That would have spoken to the Stoics. And when he talks about God being near to them, that would have spoken to the Epicureans, spoke right into the heart of two key ideas in those groups. So he's understanding that he shows that he understands how they think and he understands what matters to them as well. And then finally, he builds credibility by quoting their own poets to them. So he's drawing on their cultural reference points to help try and illustrate and explain his message. I think what I want to get across in terms of this reading is that Paul understood that a huge gulf existed between his worldview and their worldview. So he didn't just parrot the same old sermon that he'd been preaching in all of the synagogues. He went out of his way to try and bridge the gap that existed between their different worldviews. I'm going to come back to that word bridge in a moment, But I want to give you an example, first of all, of what happens when Christians fail to take account of the gap that exists between the Christian worldview and other worldviews. At the end of last year, the law was changed to enable mixed-sex couples to enter into civil partnerships. In response to that change in law, a couple of weeks ago, the House of Bishops issued a so-called pastoral statement to set out the Church's teaching on marriage and on civil partnerships. The bit that caught the headlines was the bit that said that sex is exclusively for marriage and that sex in gay or straight civil partnerships falls short of God's purpose for human beings. Now, to be fair to the House of Bishops, the statement was theologically coherent and it was in line with the Church's traditional teaching on sex and marriage. The problem with the statement is that it seemed to me they hadn't thought about the gap that exists between the traditional teaching of the Church on the one hand and the reality of our world today on the other hand. They hadn't thought about the context into which that statement was being released. For example, they hadn't thought about the many Christians who are part of the Church of England who are lesbian, gay, or bisexual. They hadn't thought about church members who are cohabiting couples. They hadn't thought about the many children that we baptise whose parents are not married or whose parents may not be together. They hadn't thought about those in our churches whose marriages have ended in divorce. And they certainly hadn't thought how all of it must sound to people outside the church. And in my personal opinion, and it really is my personal opinion, I felt that the statement was crass, and I felt that it undermined the credibility of the church. If we want people to understand that they are created in the image of God, if we want people to understand that God loves them, if we want people to understand that sex and relationships are a gift from God, then I think we need to engage with the reality of our context. We need to learn to speak the language that the vast majority of the population speak. In effect, we in the church have to bridge the gap that exists between our worldview and their worldview. The question is, how do we bridge the gap? We've got some really important things to say about sex being a gift and relationships being a gift. We've got such hugely valuable resources. How on earth are people going to listen to us if we speak in a way that they just can't connect with? I think we have to do what Paul did. I think we have to recognise the context that we're in. We can't carry on pretending that the world is like it was 150 years ago. We have to be real about the world that we're part of, and we can't simply criticise it. We have to look for common ground. Look at the things that we share, those who are Christians and those who are not Christians. What are the things that we agree on? In our parish, an example of that actually is the food bank. At the food bank, we work together, those who are Christians, those who are people of other faiths, those who are people of no faith. We work together because we share that ground, common ground, about wanting to support refugees. And lastly, we do need to work to build our credibility as the church. And for me, the best way to do those three things, the best way to build a bridge between the church and the people around us, is by being ourselves. Just by being normal and who we are. So yes, we believe in God. Yes, we come to church, but we are also normal as well. We in the church have the same needs and concerns and issues and challenges and problems as everyone else. For example, newsflash, Christians care just as much about road closures, air pollution and traffic schemes in the local area as everybody else. Every time we do something normal, we become a bridge between the world and the church. Actually, it's more like every time we do something normal, we become a bridge between the world and God. That's why we ask about what Alison's doing in the workplace, because in effect she is a bridge between the people she works with and God, because in the workplace she represents God. In the same way that if you stand at the school gate, you represent God. If you post something on Instagram, you represent God. If you go to the pub, you are God's representative. If you are caring for an elderly family member, you are God's representative in that moment. Paul did not invite the Stoics and the Epicureans to come to the synagogue to hear the message of Jesus. Paul took himself to the marketplace and he met them there. Can you hear the difference in movement between the church saying, this is what we believe and you should all get on board with that, and Paul saying, I'm entering your world to listen to what you think and then tell you the riches that I have to offer. So for me, by being normal, grounded, down to earth, in touch with reality, real and faithful to God, I think we give the church credibility. I think we make people curious about faith because they look at us and think, well, if you're a Christian, then maybe I could belong if you belong. I do not think people will come to faith through the House of Bishops pastoral statement, but I do think people will come to faith through you. Whether or not you've got all the answers, even if you're someone who says, actually, I don't agree with everything that church says, or actually, I am someone who agrees with everything that church said. Over the last 15 or so years, I have discovered that the most effective way for me as an individual to share my faith is not by preaching a sermon. No. The most effective way for me to share my faith is by wearing Converse plimsolls all the time and by drinking wine and by occasionally having a rather bawdy sense of humour. Because people do not expect me to be normal. They expect me to be a religious person with no sense of humour and no connection with reality. One of the reasons I wear plimsolls to lead services is because I'm trying to send a message. Under all of this stuff, I am just normal. People realise that in so many ways, we are like them, even if we believe in Jesus. And that, of course, actually is the thing that sets us apart. What makes us different is that we believe in Jesus. That was the thing that set Paul apart as well. At the end of the reading, Paul had built all of those bridges by reflecting on their religious life, quoting their poets, mentioning things he knew would resonate with them. And then finally he gets round to presenting Jesus. And we're told in verse 32, when they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some of them sneered. But some of them became followers of Paul and believed. And there's the rub. We need to build bridges with those around us who aren't Christians. We need to appreciate the context of the world in which we live. We need to find common ground and we need to build credibility. But we can't make people believe. However credible we are as believers, you could say that the heart of the gospel is incredible. And however ordinary we are as believers, we do believe something extraordinary because we believe in the risen Christ. We can't make people believe, and actually nor do I want to make people believe, but we can behave in such a way that we make people want to listen. That people want to listen what the church and Christians have to say. And right now, I don't think people want to listen to the church, but I do think people want to listen to you because you are the church. And I do think people want to listen to you because you're people of integrity, normal people, real lives, real challenges, and you choose to put your trust in Jesus. And that's powerful and notable. And if it worked for Paul, I think it can work for us as well. So keep building bridges. Keep building bridges. We are called to go out of here, not just to tell people to come in and agree with us. Amen. Why don't we take a moment to pause and for people just to let the dust settle and see what stays with you this morning.